Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka, where it's Tuesday, May 1st. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. This year's lower-than-expected herring harvest has renewed calls from the Sitka Tribe of Alaska to change the fishery. The tribe has long expressed worries about the amount of fish taken by the commercial fleet in the lucrative Sitka fishery. This year, fishermen managed to catch about half the harvest limit before managers shut down fishing. Fewer fish returned than were predicted, and those that did show up spawned quickly, making them worthless to the commercial fleet. The tribe sees it as validation of a long-held concern, but a state biologist says, although this year definitely requires some study and probably some adjustment, the model used to manage the fishery is still good. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
Earlier this year, the Sitka Tribe of Alaska took out a series of ads in Southeast newspapers, all with a similar message, that they felt the state was letting commercial fishermen harvest too many herring. Managers set a limit for the commercial fleet at just under 29,000 tons this year. When all was said and done, the fleet captured about half that number. The reason? Quick spawning, said managers, and, as it now turns out, a lower-than-expected return of herring in the first place. Fisheries managers predicted about 144,000 tons of fish would occupy Sitka Sound this year. The current estimate of what actually returned is around 99,000 tons. Fish and Game Management biologist Dave Gordon.
We're well below the forecast, but the harvest itself is within the 20% harvest rate, which is important to us to stay below that 20%, and certainly was important for industry that we did not exceed that 20% harvest rate.
But for Jeff Feldpouch, it comes down to a simple question.
Why are we fishing these fish when they're the cornerstone of the majority of the marine ecosystem?
Feldpouch is resource protection director for the Sitka tribe. This year's harvest, he says, was a source of both comfort and alarm. On one hand, he feels it adds merit to the tribe's concerns. On the other hand, neither the commercial fleet nor subsistence harvesters had their needs met this year.
You know, the ADF and G managers, they follow policy, and we have to change that policy. And that either goes through the Board of Fish process, through the legislature, through referendums or citizens' initiatives, or down the line through legal action if necessary.
Gordon, with the state, says the science behind the fishery is sound. The model is accepted by fisheries biologists up and down the coast, and he believes that this year was a one-off. The model has performed well, generally speaking, he says, but he adds that it cannot forecast the unexpected.
You know, we're dealing with natural populations that are subject to things like this happening, and again, you know, herring are well known to, you know, population to oscillate quite dramatically over short periods of time. Looks like something has happened with the Sitka Sound stock. What it is exactly, we don't know.
But they'll be looking at data throughout the summer and the fall, and an adjustment will likely have to be made for next year's fishery, he says. Exactly what that adjustment is will depend on the data that scientists review between now and then. Fish and Game recorded 55 nautical miles of spawn this year, which is down from last year. Still, Gordon says the population has been trending upward. What's responsible for this year's low return could be natural mortality from predators or illness, or the fish could have simply relocated. Of course, if that were the case, Gordon says they would have found spawn elsewhere. So there's more to learn yet, and not just in Sitka Sound. Spawn was also lower this year in Hoonah Sound. 5 nautical miles were spotted, down from 12 last year. Gordon says his team tries to manage the fishery conservatively and that they feel like they have. Conservative management is also on the mind of Andrew Tomes.
I think we're definitely concerned. You know, we're the Sitka Conservation Society, and therefore we're a bit conservative about how we use the natural resources. And I think that we definitely need to take a conservative approach to harvesting forage fish, herring, which is the base of the food chain.
Herring are food for salmon, sea lions, whales, and more. Tomes says his organization is keeping an eye on the issue, but not yet taking any official action.
We've got no problem with a herring fishery and using some of the fish from the herring population, but I think it needs to be done with utmost caution. And I think that this year was kind of a wake-up call that we need to really make sure that everything's in order and be very, very careful about this fishery.
And that brings us back to Feldpouch with Sitka's tribal government. The tribe successfully petitioned the Board of Fish this year to establish a subsistence-only zone in the waters just north of Sitka's downtown, but he acknowledges that if it wants to affect any sort of larger policy change, his organization is going to need the help of other groups. Gordon, meanwhile, urges patience.
It's a lot of samples that need to be worked up by the lab, and they won't be complete with that until the fall.
Once that data is available, Gordon says they'll take a look and get a much clearer picture of what those fish did this year and what it might mean for next. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Two Sitkans charged in connection with an October child abuse case were sentenced in Sitka Superior Court. Superior Court Judge David George sentenced Ernestine Dugacqua to 40 months in jail, with 24 suspended for third-degree assault against her grandchild. Assistant District Attorney Gene Seaton says the charge deals with someone who neglects to seek medical attention, for a child in their care. Dugacqua also received 30 days for violation of her duties as a custodian of children. A third assault charge was for repeated injury to a child was dismissed. She'll be on probation for 5 years after her release. Also convicted in the case was 21-year-old Frank Natkong, the child's uncle. He was sentenced to 36 months in jail with 25 suspended for third-degree assault. He received an additional 30 days for violating conditions of release. The case came to light about 6 months ago when Dugacqua's grandchildren were removed from her home. A 5-year-old girl was placed into foster care, and a 3-year-old boy was taken to search, where he was placed into the critical care unit. Direct ferry service between Angoon and Sitka resumes this week. The communities that lost connection in 2006 when the small ferry Leconte changed its schedule. Ferry Chief Mike Newsell says the route will be serviced by one of the state's two fast ferries.
And that's made possible by the fact that the dock in Angoon was completely rebuilt and is now compatible with the fast vehicle ferry Fairweather.
Starting Thursday, May 3rd, the Fairweather will include an Angoon stop on its way from Juneau to Sitka. And beginning Saturday, May 5th, it will make an Angoon port call while sailing from Sitka to Juneau. Angoon leaders asked for the Sitka connection to ease access to health care and other services in the Outer Coast community. The Fairweather sailings replace two weekly round-trip Leconte runs from Juneau to Angoon. That's fewer trips than some residents wanted. Newsell says the new dock can handle both ferries.
The engineers designed it so that both Leconte and Fairweather can operate from that dock now, which is a challenging technical problem because one of our ships has a ramp on the back of it that flops onto the dock and one of them doesn't. So there has to be a ramp on the dock that goes onto the ship.
The new dock cost $8.6 million to build. The Juneau to Angoon sailing will take 2¾ hours. The Angoon to Sitka run will take 3 hours. The Sitka and Angoon port calls will only be a half hour each. The total Juneau-Sitka travel time is 6¼ hours with the Angoon stop. It's 4½ hours without. A spokeswoman for Governor Sean Parnell says he does not plan to call lawmakers into another special session to deal with an in-state gas pipeline bill. The Alaska House adjourned from special session yesterday with leaders venting frustration with the Senate. The last remaining bill on the special session call was a gas pipeline bill, but the Senate adjourned last week without passing it. The House passed the bill, HB 9, during regular session, and House leaders were considering introducing another version of the bill to keep the issue alive and perhaps get the Senate back. But House Speaker Mike Chenault said that seemed a fruitless exercise. Senate President Gary Stevens said HB 9 was problematic and he didn't see the votes for it on the Senate side. Add Juneau to the list of communities balancing state funding and school cuts. The Capital City's school board voted Tuesday to take 6 items off a long list of expected cuts. A last-minute, one-time legislative appropriation allowed continued funding. Administration Services Director David Means says teachers, cultural educators, elementary school specialists, and middle school counselors were funded, but some administrative positions, custodians, and classroom staff were not. The extra legislative money let the district restore about a fifth of a nearly $6 million shortfall. But school board president Sally Sadler says the extra money isn't enough.
Well, I'd like to say I feel relief, but it's difficult to feel relief when we're still laying off over 50 people. I mean, the money is just not there to continue all the fine things that we're doing for our students. And while it's great that we were able to add back the 13 or so positions, I mean, you have to keep in mind we're still cutting $4.4 million from our budget.
The district's total spending plan for the next fiscal year is around $92 million. Some legislators push for a multi-year funding increase, but lawmakers and the governor compromised on a one-time boost. The former mayor of a southeast Alaska city of Ketchikan has pleaded guilty to 7 counts of possession of child pornography. KRBD-FM says 80-year-old Jack Shea agreed to be sentenced to 35 years in prison, with 18 years suspended as part of a deal in which prosecutors dropped 84 charges against him. Shea entered his plea in Ketchikan Superior Court yesterday. Shea was arrested in November. Police say he took his computer and printer to a repair shop, and employees found child pornography on the machine. The longtime public official served stints as mayor for both the city and borough. He was a member of Ketchikan City Council at the time of his arrest. He is past president of the Alaska Municipal League and former head of the State Division of Employment Security. And that's a look at Raven News for this hour. It's just about 30 seconds past the hour of 8 o'clock, and you are listening to KCAW in Sitka, where we have east winds at 6, 40 degrees outside and mostly cloudy skies.